Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
It's now time for us to step into the speakeasy with linguist Daniel Midgley. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning.
We've been talking about things that you stay up late for. Before we get into, you know, what we want to talk about today as far as linguistics and words go, what have you set the alarm in the middle of the night to get up for an auspicious event of any sort,
whether I do. No, it was the inauguration of President Barack Obama.
Ah, so what time of night was that, do you remember?
It was seriously something like 2 a.m. over here, 3 a.m. But I watched, I cried,
yeah.
I laughed, I ate popcorn. It was great.
Did you fall straight back to sleep, or was it the event, the significance, too much to allow you to do that, or did you just plow on through the day?
I was too excited. I had to stay awake. Little was I to know of the horror that would follow lately. You know.
Before we get on to the Oxford English Dictionary word graduation, just take a listen to this, Daniel. We've been very busy, and we're springing a surprise on you.
I actually think that the internet isn't changing language very much. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, does anybody say or type wall anymore? Like, that was the best example, the best example of what the internet had to offer. The internet has given us a word, and it is lol.
Good demonstration.
But do you ever type lol? No. It's always ha-ha or a laughing emoji or something like that.
Daniel Midgley, I'm going to accuse you of ending my relationship with LOL.
How like, did you get this audio?
It's like, I don't know. You know, I can't remember the last time I used LOL, and I didn't really say goodbye. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a ceremony of any sort. It was just suddenly over.
It's like your parents, right? One day they put you down and they never pick you up again, and you never know when the last time is. Well, that's the way I got so many people last night. This was at a TEDx salon event last night, and I got so many people saying, I still type lol. Well, then you might be a little older.
Yes, and I'll accuse emojis of taking lol away from me because, you know, if you did type lol, it's more likely to come up with the face. And then you say, hey, I'll say it with a picture instead of typing lol. Maybe that's my issue. But, yeah, there's no more lols in my life.
I'm waiting for the time when people say, yeah, emoji, that's just what old people do.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Probably not far away. It's time to talk graduation and cue the cheesy graduation music. If I have to sit through one more mediocre rendition of that song.
I wasn't expecting that song.
Not at all. That's not your...
I was expecting Pomp and Circumstance by Elgar. You know?
No, not Vitamin C graduation. That's what the younger folk apparently like to play at their graduation ceremonies these days. We're talking about the new words graduating into the Oxford English Dictionary, Daniel.
They do it every 3 months. It's a really big deal. It's a chance for words that have been lingering around for a while to finally join the Dictionary of Record.
Any standouts? Who's the valedictorian when it comes to the words graduating at the moment?
There are a ton. There are tons that they tend to cluster in groups, like this group that I'm thinking of has to do with watching television and movies. Binge watch, which has been around since 2007. And by the way, back in my day, you couldn't binge watch because they would show something once on television and then it was gone. Now you can watch every episode like all at once. So binge watching is now a thing.
I was trying to binge watch the World Cup on Optus.
Yeah? And how did that go?
not very well.
Sorry to hear that. Spoiler alert. Another one, you know, a spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
The first instance was in 1982. That one goes way back. You know, a document or a review or a comment that discloses the ending or some key surprise or twist in a story.
So what... I mean, what would you use spoiler alert for in 82? I'm trying to think back.
Oh, there were still movies, apparently.
Oh, and maybe spoiler alert is also, you know, if we go way back, it's the person that reads the last page of the mystery novel, even though they're only one chapter in.
That is me. You know, usually spoiler alert is kind of ironic now. Like when I pass evangelists, religious folks in the city, and they say, Jesus died for your sins, and I say, He dies? I was reading that. Come on, man. Spoiler alert.
Can we just reverse it a little bit? Do you seriously read the last page?
If it's a book I'm invested in, then no. But if it's a book I don't care about, then I... And it's never very illuminating anyway. It's all just denouement by the time you get to the last page. That's a good word.
What about from television, the new words from very popular television shows, Daniel, that now are in the Oxford English Dictionary?
The Simpsons has given us a lot of words. We already had dope, which appeared in 2002. But this one, these two, there are two new ones, embiggen and cromulent.
I can't believe these words have made it in. I remember this episode.
Go ahead, tell me the story.
Well, from what I remember, the story is that they used the word embiggen on the statue that they have of, what was his name?
Jebediah Springfield.
And it's some sort of town slogan, and they put the word embiggen in there, something, something embiggens the man.
A noble spirit embiggens the smile. Smallest man.
But they made it up on purpose. Oh, I mean, obviously they made it up on purpose, but it is a made-up word.
I've got to correct you there. The
really?
Word embiggen goes before The Simpsons.
The first See, instance, there I'm wrong.
The first instance occurs...
That's why he's the linguist.
Yes.
It occurs in 1884. It goes way back. Somebody coined it up as an example of an ugly word that people throw together and thereby invented this word. But it appears in the episode Lisa the Iconoclast, Miss Krabappel says, embiggens. Funny, I never heard that word before I came to Springfield. And then the other teacher, Miss Hoover, says, I don't know why. It's a perfectly cromulent word. And so there they both are. Cromulent was made up.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's it. So now I'm looking for, we've got dough, embiggen, and cromulent. I'm still waiting for quidgibo and car hole as an alternative version of garage.
So what does cromulent mean?
Your guess is as good as
okay, yes. So we can just make up our own.
So that's one that the Simpsons writing team completely made up themselves.
Yep. That one is. It's a perfectly cromulent word.
Received a text on TV shows and words created, yada, yada, yada. Seinfeld.
Yes, yep. Good example.
Ben Zimmer of the Wall Street Journal wrote a really good bit on that. It's been spelled variously. For a while, people were spelling it yata with a T, and nobody knows quite where it comes from. I think yada, yada, yada with a D sounds a lot better.
My sister and I were having a similar debate over the Muppet song Manamana. Does it have an H in it? That's right.
Regarding LOL, we've received a text. You were talking about how emojis have caused the extinction or near extinction of LOL, Daniel. Mm. Controversial statement. Mm. This text reads, my dad types it at the end of every text because he believes it means lots of love.
Ah.
I will never correct him. Your dad is not alone there with that understanding.
There are lots of examples. You know, the cat just died, lol.
Yes, good point. I hadn't thought about it in that context. For the Doctor Who nerds, reverse the polarity of the neutron flow.
Oh.
So that's a whole phrase.
That's going to join the wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey things. I think it's gotten a little less technical over the years.
And the flux capacitor from Back to the Future.
We're with Daniel Midgley. This is Speakeasy, and we're talking about some of the new words being inducted into the Oxford English Dictionary. I'm interested in this one that you've given me on the list.
Mm-hmm.
What is imposter syndrome?
This is something I grapple with all the time. When you're at a university, I think this isn't just postgrads that have this, but when you're at a university, everybody's so smart and you don't know their work, you just know yours.
At a university? You're talking about my life.
Okay, fair enough. And so it's easy to think that, I'm not as smart as all these people. Everyone's going to find me out. I'm an imposter and one day I'll be unmasked. And it was a great day for me when I could say to myself, you know what? I don't know everything, but I know about the right amount for where I'm at. And once I was able to say that, then I could move forward. And so if you're suffering from imposter syndrome, you know, look at yourself and see if you can say to yourself, I'm not going to stop learning. I'm not the smartest, brightest person around here, but I know the right amount for where I'm at and I should be here and I belong here. Say that to yourself.
We're getting life advice from Daniel Midgley as well on in the Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
Daniel, you are the opposite. I find you to be the opposite of an energy vampire.
Ah.
I hope I haven't insulted you then. I hope I've got the right understanding for energy umpire.
No.
That is a different one, energy vampire.
An energy vampire is somebody who just sucks the energy out of you. They just require a lot of care. And they never seem to do any better themselves for all that they drain from you. They still need the blood of fresh victims.
That's right.
Don't feed the vampires.
They soak up the bandwidth of your joy, really.
Oh, well said.
Oh, no, I'm just poetic today. But this one is one that I feel like I would have said to my siblings as a kid, and the elder sibling would have gone, that's not a word, leastus.
Ah.
Is it really, was it not a word until this point?
It really is a word.
It still doesn't sound like a word to me.
I know, because you say least, and that means the smallest amount, and then you add an S to it, and it doesn't seem right. This is the old double superlative, and we're funny about it these days, but it used to be perfectly fine. In fact, Shakespeare once said that was the most unkindest cut of all. And you could go ahead and stack up multiple superlatives like that. People might look at you a little funny, but if they do, just remind them that people do say utmost. Right? Mm-hmm. You've said that phrase before.
Yes.
I'm doing my utmost. Well, what does that mean? Well, the ut comes from outer. So you've got an and a most right in that word, and everyone just thinks it's fine.
What are we doing with ourselves?
So don't worry about it. If you want to say that's the leastest I could do, you're okay.
What's squeak?
Oh, remember how we were talking about all those things that people are kind of funny about, like biting on popsicle sticks or touching your own
squeamish.
Eye?
Squeamish.
Yeah, squeamish.
Yeah.
Well, those are the kind of things that squick you out.
How did the word squick come about, though? Is it one of those meshed up words together? It makes me feel squeamish rather quickly, so it's a squick?
I think it's intended to be imitative. You know, when you see something that's gross, you go,
yeah.
And that squick, this is just a guess. But then some people feel like the squa part of it also has a play in it, like squeamish turned to squick, and then, you know, you get that imitative feeling. So sometimes words come to us from multiple sources.
The Bechdel test. Getting back to movies, I think we glossed over this one, and I need to know. Bechdel test?
Love this. This one comes from a comic by Alison Bechdel in 1985. The comic was Dykes to Watch Out For. So one of the characters says her test for going to a movie, and it's got three rules. It's got to have two women in it with names. You know all these movies with one woman in them?
Yes.
So you don't watch that. They have to talk to each other, and they have to talk to each other about something besides a man. That's the Bechdel test. If it gets past that, then it's past the Bechdel test. And you would be amazed, about half of the movies around flunk the Bechdel test. That doesn't mean they're not good movies. It just means we got a long way to go before women are represented as more than just some sort of attractive lamp.
So there is a great proportion of movies that do not feature more than one woman,
yep,
and fail the Bechdel test because if there is more than one woman, often they are in a conversation that is about men.
They're just talking about some dude and helping to advance their plot.
I don't think I'll be ever able to watch a movie again without applying the Bechdel test now.
I think so.
And I'm really embarrassed to admit that how long has the Bechdel test been around for as a term, and, you know, especially given that it's come from this comic, because I'm pretty ignorant of it, I'm ashamed to admit, Daniel Midgley.
A lot of these words, I have two reactions. My first reaction for some words is, what is that? And then another one is, that's not in the Oxford Dictionary yet? I can't believe that it's been kicking around so long and it hasn't been in. So I think for a lot of these words, the recognition is way overdue.
From the list of these new words, in all honesty, honest Daniel Midgley, which ones have you used or do you use frequently?
Pareidolia.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. I cracked up Peter and Paul.
Pareidolia is what?
Pareidolia is when you think you see a pattern, but it's all in your head.
Is that like the, I'm a big fan of the Faces in Things Twitter account. So is that when you see a face in something where a face really isn't there?
Yeah.
It looks like a face.
Yeah, or it can get more complex. Like if you read your horoscope, right, and you think, oh, wow, that totally applies to me. But it's actually just you applying whatever they say to whatever's in your life. It's just another example of pareidolia.
We have another example of a word, a made-up word from a TV show that a texter uses a lot. It is from The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
It is from Sheldon. Bazinga.
Oh, it is a good word.
Bazinga.
That is good, but it's not as good as the one from the cartoon Dave the Barbarian. Remember that one? Bejabbers!
I tell you what, I mean, it's going way back to early Simpsons, but Cowabunga at the time was pretty good.
I remember hearing that one back in the
70s. Was that a Simpsons, though? Yeah.
No. People were saying Cowabunga when they would jump into a pool or something, since I was a kid in the 70s.
It may have been Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
As well, of course.
You're right.
Daniel, always fun. Thank you so much.
A pleasure.
You are not an energy vampire.
Oh, thank you.